Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. I hope you guys are doing well. How is everybody? It's getting into fall, I think, for most of y'all. I always say y'all, it's a southern thing, but not here in Florida. It's still nice and warm and hot. I know I share, everybody laughs at me because they're always like, what do you talk about all the time? Because yeah, I notice the heat quite a lot, but I'm seeing pictures of fall for other people, so I'm jealous for you guys that get to experience that. I have a really cool author on today, Jenny Block, talking about her book, Be That Unicorn, and she's going to join me in just a few minutes. I finished her book this morning. I really liked it. A few things. So last week, if you were listening, I shared that I was invited to be the local author in a ribbon-cutting ceremony of a new Barnes & Noble bookstore opening in Coral Springs, Florida. It was pushed back a week to October 6th, so I'm excited to be asked to be featured as a local author to help open that store and do a book signing, my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power, and Manifest Your Dreams, and the local newspaper, the Sun Sentinel, will be there. So if you're around South Florida in that area, the store opens at 10 a.m., stop on by. And for those of you who are tuning into my show for the first time, not only am I a radio host, podcaster, I'm also a photographer and an author. And my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, is it's about manifesting. And it has 30 manifesting stories along with photographs that I took of the contributors manifesting postcards. And I include writing exercises for everyone to help you get clear on what you want to manifest. And I have a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest money, career, health, love, all of it. So it's lots of fun. And if you're interested in doing inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, you can check out my book at your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. And like I said, if you're in South Florida and you're going to be around on October 6th, there's a new Barnes & Noble opening and you can come and I will do a signing for you. So each week, those of you who do listen to me on a regular basis know I share a Magic Monday message, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard. These are some of the postcards that are in the book, and of course, I'm getting new ones all the time, which I love. It's a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on for a week. I tap into the energy of that affirmation and keep repeating it to myself to increase its power, to become a new belief that I incorporate into my life. And this week's manifestation, the affirmation is, I dream big. And I believe sometimes we're afraid to have big dreams because we think we can't have it, or we don't deserve it, or it will never happen for us. But if you believe that you co-create with the universe your reality, then you know it doesn't matter what you want. You can have it. Where we get stuck is with our feelings around that. If our belief system was so strong that we knew it was guaranteed to get what we want, we would cast out our dream and go along happily in our life, knowing that it's coming and that the universe has our back. But what we do is we stress and worry and question and not believe it's possible for us. We doubt how much power we really have. Most of the time we're going through life unconsciously, attracting the things that we don't want by focusing on our problems and stressing about what isn't working. And when we dream big, we need to visualize ourselves having what we want. We need to see it, to feel it, taste it, and be grateful for it as it's already here. Knowing that we cast out our desire, we need to get out of our own way. A lot of times we start to see the manifestation happening, and this is true for sure. I know this is true because I have been guilty of it in the past. We see the manifestation happening and we get scared and we retreat and we send it away. or we see things coming to us, but it isn't in the way we imagined. So again, we put up a big stop sign. So then the universe says, okay, well, I guess she doesn't really want it. No problem. I will stop setting these up, these coincidences or situations or intuitive hits, because what we're doing is we're acting like we don't want our big dream. So set your sights for yourself on big dreams and cast them out, knowing that it's coming. Allow the universe to bring it to you in all ways. Be open to not knowing how and have faith. Then when the moment calls for it, take inspired action. Be grateful for what you already have. Live your life in joy, and you'll be amazed at how things start to shift in your favor. And you can see the images of my Magic Monday messages each week on all my social media, Postcards to the Universe, and my website. And if you want to make a manifesting postcard and send it, you can find out how on Postcards to the Universe's website under How It Works. And I will help you if you need help. All you have to do is just email me. Next week, I have author Janet Connor. She's a prayer artist, deep soul explorer, field guide in the mystic, and devoted daughter of the divine feminine and the ancient memory of original prayer. Janet's book, Writing Down Your Soul, How to Activate and Listen to the Extraordinary Voice Within, she is going to join us. She considers herself a prayer artist, which is kind of interesting. So come next week and join me and Janet for our conversation. But now to introduce you to my amazing guest today, Jenny Block. She's a frequent contributor to a number of high-profile publications, from Huffington Post to Playboy, and is the author of Oh Wow, Discovering Your Ultimate Orgasm, and Open Love, Sex, and Life in an Open Marriage, winner of a 2008 Lambda Literary Award. She appears regularly on HuffPo Live and HuffPo Sex and Love Podcast, and is featured in HuffPo's first ever freestanding multimedia project. Say that 10 times fast. Okay, today we're mostly going to be talking about her latest book, which is Be That Unicorn, Find Your Magic, Live Your Truth, and Share Your Shine. Being a unicorn means being the magnetic person that everyone in the room is drawn to. It means being honest and true to yourself every day, no matter what. When you're really, really good at being yourself, you'll make other people feel really, really good about themselves too. And Be That Unicorn, Jenny, author of several bestsellers for women, shows you how to stop putting yourself down and start finding your magic. And if you want to learn more about her and the book, go to bethatunicorn.com. Welcome, Jenny. Thanks for being here with me today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you about your book, but I also want to talk to you about your background and some of the other things you're writing about, because it's really interesting. So I'm going to first let you tell us a little bit about who you are and your background, and then we'll get into your work. So why don't you share a little bit about yourself? Yeah.
So I started out as a writing professor many, many years ago, and at some point someone asked me what I wrote. And I thought, nothing. I teach writing, but I don't write. Wow. So I started. And I started in travel and food, and then I moved into entertainment and celebrities, and sort of did, you know, a little bit of everything. I called it lifestyle. And then I wrote a book about open marriage, which led people to think I knew a lot about sex. Whether that was true or not, I don't know. And so I wrote two books about sex. I had two different sex columns. I found myself speaking on cruises and at events about those books and those topics. And then I had a very interesting epiphany, which was that people would come to me for advice, and, you know, I'd always warn them I'm not a licensed sex counselor. What I am is someone who is, you know, very well educated and listens to people and interviews a lot of people and reads everything I can get my hands on. But what I found people were always looking for was validation. Nobody needed any technical information that you can get online. I'm not sure. the smartest person in the room when it comes to that. But everyone wanted to know that they were okay and that they were normal and that they were good enough and whatever enough, fill in the blank. And it dawned on me that some people might not be getting the benefit of, or there was more benefit to be had from those books that were about sex. So people would say to me all the time, you know, oh, I always feel so good about myself after talking to you. I just wish I could carry you around in my pocket all day. And I thought, well, between those two things, one, people really want is validation, and two, people feel validated when they're with me, so how can I be in their pocket? And voila, was born Be That Unicorn.
Yeah, that's so true about validation and the fact that you're bringing that up, because I really do think that when we talk to our friends, our family, anybody in work situations, even the person, you know, the post office, or everybody just wants to be seen, heard, and validated for everything that we're, you know, contributing in our life. And it's true. And I see now, I just got the ding when you said that that was sort of like the seed that planted the Be That Unicorn, you know, and what made you want to write that book. And of course, you know, anything that people write about sex, well, we know sex sells.
Right, exactly. Although, you know, there's a funny irony to being a sex writer. Like, in some ways, it was like, ooh, everyone read it, and I broke, believe it or not, I wrote sex for Fox News for a while, and I would break the internet every time a story came out, and I did a story about being on a nudist resort, and it literally broke my own website, and Huffington Post blew up, and yet they wouldn't put my book on the front table of Barnes & Noble. They wouldn't invite me to speak there. So I would speak on big lesbian cruises, but they didn't want me at their mom's book club. So there's a weird dichotomy between what I call real sex and pretend sex. Uh-huh. So 50 Shades of Grey is pretend sex. So that's easy to talk about. It's easy to, you know, what's the joke if instead of a jet he had a van, and instead of being rich he was on welfare? It would be a crime instead of a popular movie.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that all the time. I'm like, he's sick. He's a stalker.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Yeah. Right. I mean, everything he says is, I mean, all of the BDSM community came forward and said this is wrong,
that.
The consent is wrong, it's all wrong. Again, the real thing wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun to talk about, you know, it doesn't feel exciting to talk about consent and to have it in, you know, it wouldn't sell movie tickets. So it's funny, sex sells, but fake sex sells. Because, you know, like the porn industry is the one industry that is never hurt when the economy falls. In fact, it's the one thing that sort of burst when you saw, you know, OnlyFans.
Yes.
And yet, we all say, you know, I've never met anyone who said, I hope my daughter grows up to be a porn star. So what does that mean? Like, it's fine if you watch it, but you wouldn't want to. So we're very mixed up. We're very,
we are.
You know, sexy is Victoria's Secret, but, you know, a girl can't wear a spaghetti strap in elementary school because then her teacher will lust after a six-year-old. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So it was
you're so right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very confusing space to be in, especially since I was sort of an accidental sex writer. Like, I didn't seek to be that. Mm-hmm. People reached out to me. And again, I think what people were interested was more that they left my sessions feeling happy and safe and secure and excited to reconnect with their partners. They realize now they are both thinking the same thing. And it's just, I think, again, everyone's looking for their tribe. And also, too many people are looking to keep people out of their tribe, which I don't quite understand. It's like the old, I wouldn't want to be in any club who would have a member like me. That I'm still sort of trying to figure out. But I saw a post the other day about stop being so mean to people who are excited about the fall. Like, I'm not a pumpkin spice latte girl. I'm just not. It's not my flavor. Mm-hmm. But I get sort of tickled by how excited people are that, I mean, the fall comes once a year, and we hope that we get to see another fall. And, you know, right now the world's on fire. So if you can celebrate a yummy latte, why would you be mean to someone about that? And the answer is because you're insecure. The answer is because you're sad. The answer is because you don't feel like you're included in the group. But the truth is, all you have to do is order a pumpkin spice latte. And then you can be in the group too. So it's sad to me, because the meaner you are, the more insecure and sad I know you are, but it also makes it harder to approach you. I mean, I feel that way about some of the politics that are going on now. Like, I just wish we could have Amnesty Day for everyone who's anti-vax and anti-mask. Like, no hard feelings. You got mixed up. It's totally cool. The science is there. Please don't die on this hill. Let's move forward.
Right.
But again, like, it was us and them, and I don't know. It's just, I just.
Yeah.
I remember going.
I think that it's a lot of this we're seeing like all at one time is this is just my personal opinion. Now, whether this is true or not, I feel like all the gunk and the crap and the stuff that's been buried for so long has to come up to the surface so that we can as a whole vibrate at a higher, lighter plane and frequency so we can be more like what you're describing in your book, be that unicorn, or what I'm talking about, manifesting consciously, you know, co-creating and having wonderful things. And so we're in that, that sort of that dichotomy of black and white, up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left, you know, until we sort of figure it out and clear out the crap and the clutter. And hopefully more people will want to join, you know, and be that unicorn, because that's really what you're talking about in your book is being that unicorn.
The funny thing is it's so easy. Like in some ways, it's the easiest thing in the world. Like everyone today could wake up and decide, I'm just going to be the best me. I'm not going to be mad about old stuff.
Right.
I'm just not. I'm going to go stand in my backyard. I'm going to scream really loud. I'm going to put on my favorite 80s music and dance like no one's watching because they're not. I'm just not. Now, you can be terribly sad about what's going on in the world. Absolutely.
Sure.
You can be terribly angry about what's going on. Absolutely. And you also, to my mind, need to function. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
So we're sad.
Wait, before you go on, because I just looked at the clock and we're at our first break.
Oh,
I
want
to take it here. But I love that you said put on 80s music, because I think 80s was the best music too. All right. So I want to hear more about this. So you guys stay tuned and I will be back we will be back in just 2 minutes.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged/developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. So if you're just tuning in, I have author Jenny Block on with her book, Be That Unicorn, Find Your Magic, Live Your Truth, and Share Your Shine. So Jenny, I want to ask, where did the unicorn, is the unicorn like your avatar, your alter ego, like the, why the unicorn?
Well, so I love the unicorn because no one believes in her, but she still believes in herself. It's this imaginary creature, except she isn't, and it's an image or a creature that sort of lives on. Like, there's a beautiful tapestry at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, I believe, that has been since turned into a million things, including a Christmas tree ornament. I believe it's from the Renaissance. So we have, I mean, maybe prior to that too, but we have a Renaissance reference alive and well all through the 60s, 70s, 80s. And then, ironically, when I pitched my book to the first couple of publishers, they all said, oh, by the time this book comes out, unicorns will be over. Mm. And I was like, what? You're not doing your research. I mean, there's entire stores, like, there's this thing that people, boys, girls, men, women, people are strangely attracted to this idea of what if. It's kind of like the narwhal or the mermaid or the any of that. Like, wouldn't it be cool if? But again, for me, the biggest part was about being someone that, even if everybody else is like, well, that can't be true, or, you know, I've never seen one, that there she is anyway. So, I needed a visual. I needed to know what my herd was represented by. It's something, for me, a unicorn definitely means something unique. It can mean whatever unique means for you, but it's always meant, you know, and it still means, people use it to mean all sorts of things, but it's always the special one. So the thing for me is that the weird thing about being special is that we all are and none of us are. Right? Like, in some ways, I'm mad at Barney because, you know, if everybody thinks they're so great, then everybody's walking around like, I'm better than you. That was a misstep. It was supposed to be that I'm great and you're great and we're even better together. Like, wouldn't it be great if we were all great? Like, that seems to be a little bit, I don't know, maybe human beings are naturally competitive, or maybe... Yeah, that's the only thing I can think it is. That somehow, you know, because at some point we were trying to survive. And hopefully your whole life isn't simply about surviving. I know for some people it is, which is, you know, that means no time to be worrying about these philosophical things. But should you have the privilege of being able to have these thoughts, I really do believe that we can be our own unicorn. We can have something that is our unicorn. My grandfather, Papa, was my unicorn. He just seemed, he was sort of an odd bird. I mean, now that we know more about what we know, I mean, he probably suffered from clinical depression, something we didn't talk about then, but it made him who he was, you know, and he sallied forth anyway, which is one of the things I loved about him so much. So I guess the answer to your question is yes and no. It happened sort of all of a sudden. What's that line for that movie? It happened slowly and all at once. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
So I just woke up in the middle of the night and, you know, there she was. So, yeah.
Right. And you, so being a unicorn and is kind of like a being, it's like a state of mind kind of thing. It's like acting from a certain perspective. And you, like you said, you used it as a visual, and you named your unicorn. What's your unicorn's name?
Well, Herbert, because that was my grandfather.
Right.
And I think of Herbert sort of like, you know, pushing me forward, mm-hmm. and, you know, even giving me a little stab in the arm if I need it, you know, like, mm-hmm. come on, you can do better than that. And I can literally think of the times when I wasn't being that unicorn. And I say that mm-hmm. unicorn with a capital T, because anyone can be a unicorn, but I'm asking us all to take the opportunity to be that unicorn, the one that is always glittering in the room, the one that everyone always, you know, you go to a party and you walk in and inevitably most people are standing around one person, and they're the person who, and it's not that they're taking over. It's not that they're the only one talking. It's none of that. And it's not the prettiest. It's not the richest. It's none of the things. It's not a Kardashian, even though that's what we're sold. It's just this person that as soon as you're near them, you feel great. They want to hear about you. They seem to actually listen to you, and they magnify you. I mean, what everyone is looking for is to see a reflection back of themselves that is the one that they want to see. So that unicorn is someone who reflects back all the good. I was at a brunch a couple years ago with my now wife's I think it's her great uncle, an older man, probably in his early 80s, just sits perfectly silently at family events. And I just happen to be seated across from him at the brunch table. And it's loud, so you kind of have to talk to who you're near. And I saw my wife sort of give me this desperate, I'm sorry look. And I thought, I'm fine. I got this. And I had heard a rumor that he was interested in woodworking. Mm-hmm. So I just asked him about it. And an hour later, my eggs were cold. He and I could not, you know, we couldn't have stopped us talking if you wanted to. And am I deeply interested in woodworking? No, I'm deeply interested in whatever you're deeply interested in. Like, I could listen to someone talk about what they love forever. I can listen to someone talk about nothing for about half a second. I mean,
I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. I don't do fake small talk. I don't like I'm not interested.
No.
Yeah. So just share for those who are listening and they're like, okay, I think I understand what you're talking about. What do you mean by being that unicorn? Like, throw out a few things that you're talking about in your book so people who are listening can kind of get an idea of what we're speaking about.
So you're in a crowded airport and people around you are being like the vibration is terrible. You know what I mean? You can just feel it's pushing against you instead of moving you forward. And instead of like tightening up and holding your ground and not looking at anyone, you say, oh, this is the worst, isn't it? I used to love traveling, and now look at us. Oh, well, what time's your flight? Oh, your flight's before mine? Why don't you get in front of me? You know what? They're not going to help us out up there, those security people, but we're going to help each other out. Let's make this the best of a worst situation. It's saying to yourself, what would I want this situation to be if I had control of it, and how much control do I have? Can I make security go faster? No. Can I help the person behind me who's freaking out by getting them a couple people ahead? Absolutely. Hey, y'all out there, this guy behind me is about to miss his flight. He feels great. The people around you think, wow, that was really nice. It's kind of like paying for someone's McDonald's when you're ahead of them in line. Being that unicorn is being the best you that you can muster in that moment. Now, have I been in traffic and stayed in the lane to the left even though I should already have gone right because I'm so tired of being cut off and I wait till the very end to exit? Yep. And how did I feel about that? Not great. I didn't feel great about it. I just didn't. Now, have I also let people in when no one else will because that person is doing the thing where you wait to the end? Yeah, because you know what? I don't know what's going on with that guy's day. He might have just gotten fired. His wife right. might have just left him. He might have right. felt small his whole life, and he needs to feel big for 1 minute by cutting me off. So, mm-hmm. all right, if you need to get in front of me. That unicorn is the person who is the best them in that moment, who musters up more than he or she thinks they can at that time. When I carry toys in my bag all the time, because I can't tell you how many moms and dads are stuck with crying children on airplanes, and most people are rolling their eyes and getting irritated mm-hmm. and asking to be moved, when a lollipop goes a long way 3,000 feet in the air. I mean, it's really just mm-hmm. about... It's the simplest thing in the world. It's just about being kind. And it's the hardest thing in the world because it's the time when it's hardest. Like, exactly. Do I really want to deal with a crying baby? Absolutely not. Do I really want to move 3 rows back because that couple would want to sit together? No, I do not. Do I really want to sit with the boring guy at brunch? No, I do not. But how do I want to feel afterwards? That's my question to myself. How do you want to feel when this is done? And again, I can think of times when I was very disappointed in the choice I made in the moment. I didn't feel good when I was doing it. It took me a long time to get out of that mood, and it didn't serve me or anybody else.
Right.
So I just like to say to myself, I know you're disappointed, mad, sad. Do your little thing. Have your little whatever minute. My dad always says, let the emotion have its time, you know, jump up and down, be mad, do whatever you need to do, fine, and moving on, because it's not
right.
serving you.
And it's
when
not serving
you say no to the things that aren't serving you, you're that unicorn. You said something earlier about you manifest things and then they show up and you ignore them because they look mm-hmm. different, or because mm-hmm. you're not as ready as you thought, or because you manifest them but then you're not really open to them.
Right.
That unicorn looks around and says, huh, I asked for this, didn't I? What can I yeah. do with this? This is a little shinier, not as shiny, or sooner or later, or I wonder what if. And a unicorn is, you know, that unicorn is forgiving. Like I said, I'd like to give amnesty to, I say that about people who are, you know, anti-LGBT. I always say, you know, if tomorrow you want to come to Pride, you can come with us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't on the right side of history before, but we're gonna punish you for that now? Let's
right.
let's move forward. Now,
well,
again,
I like that. I like that it's just showing up as the best version of yourself that you can be, because in the book, you write a few sections. One, you talk about, you know, what imposter syndrome is, and you talk about that. And you also talk about how social media is bogus, which I say all the time. Don't be wrapped up in your likes and your things, because it's all fake. It's not real life, you know, and we get
no.
so wrapped up on about the numbers game. And
right.
And it's going to stay that way unless people like you or me or others like us that realize, okay, we can still have fun. We can make our posts, and you move on and you don't go back and worry about all that stuff. And the more of us that do that, then the more of us can enjoy social media for how it should be, in my opinion, I guess in yours too.
Yeah, to me, social media is just a way for my mom to see pictures on my trip without having to send her and everybody else pictures the whole time.
Right,
and if
right.
you like them, that's awesome. Now, if I share something that, you know, I don't know, a GoFundMe for someone, yeah, I hope more people see that and more people
of
click
course.
Through. But that's, for me, that's more about communication. And my social media is highly curated. When I have a terrible
yes.
day, I look at my own Instagram and think, look how good you have it, you dipshit. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's shocking to me how
yes.
I don't even... Wow, that girl's having quite the life. That's your life, dummy. Like, in some ways, I think it's a really good way to, like, you know,
well,
remind
yes.
yourself what
yes.
what it is that you're... Because some days I look at social media and all I can think is, you know, well, her book got made into a movie, or her
mm-hmm.
book got that award, or
right.
her book is on the New York...
Yes.
And I think, well, you know what? Her book on being on the New York Times bestseller list doesn't stop you from writing a New York Times bestseller. So why don't you go back
exactly.
to your computer? So
right.
this thing about, like, they didn't mm-hmm. take anything from me. I
right.
either I can be inspired by that, or maybe I shouldn't write another book. Maybe I should do something else, because if it's making me sad, then that's not useful. Or I shouldn't follow those people or be in those groups anymore. because that.
Well, I think the comparison game is a dangerous game because there's always going to be somebody that we're going to find that's, you know, all the things that society tells us we need to be: younger, skinnier, prettier, smarter, better. You know, there's always going to be that. So I think you're right. If you can look at somebody, and I feel the same way you do. I have a book out there, you know. Like, of course I want mine to be on the New York Times bestseller list, right? You know, so... But you're right. Be inspired by somebody else. It doesn't mean that my book can't be, or my next book can't be. Who's to say that, right? So it's good to remind yourself.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And you still have to honor your true feelings. Like, yes, am I jealous that her book is a Netflix show? Yes. 110%. I'm jealous. What does it mean to be jealous? It means I want something that someone else has. Can I have that? Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Now, that is something that requires whatever percent talent and much more percent luck. So, you know, sometimes I say I wish I had picked a job like bricklayer. You know, you show up, you lay a brick, and a wall appears.
Yeah.
I have to spend all my life saying, pick me, pick me. But I chose that. And if I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it.
Exactly. So, well, the good thing is that, you know, we do have a lot more, like I said earlier in the intro, we have a lot more control over consciously co-creating with the universe to be the bestseller, right? So what you probably do and what I do, and I work on myself all the time, is I'll say, but when, you know, well, what if it's not this? And I do the what ifs, and then that blocks the manifestation. You know, if it's coming, it could be, you know, next year, next month, 5 years from now, I don't know, but we wonder, we get insecure, and then all of our own personal stuff comes up, which is a detriment to manifesting. That's why it's not just, oh, I want this and it magically appears. There's a lot of inspired action that we need to take, and we have to do.
Right. And I think in some ways, the watered down secret did a lot of damage to people. People thought you could stand in your driveway,
sit on your couch
and say that you want a Cadillac. Yes. And it doesn't.
And there it is.
Right. And my dad is a rabbi, and he used to start his classes. He wouldn't introduce himself. He wouldn't take attendance. He wouldn't do anything. He'd just walk in the classroom and he'd say, God, I want a red bicycle. And you go, oh, let's try one more time. God, I want a red bicycle. All right, well, I guess there's no point in this class because clearly God doesn't exist. You can have the day off, and he walks out of the room.
Oh, my God, I love it. I love that.
Hold it.
It's perfect. We're going to take our second break now because I love that. Okay. So we're going to say before our break, God, we want to be bestsellers. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. I have author Jenny Block on today. We're talking about being that unicorn. So I like it that your dad would do that because it shows that, right, what does that mean? Like,
that is not how that works. That's not how faith works. That's not how God works. That's not how the universe works. That's, you know, what's the saying? God helps those who help themselves. The universe does too.
Yes,
you know, the universe the universe wants us to succeed. The universe wants all things good. The universe moves us towards the things that we are putting out there. I had some yucky stuff happen in my past and got myself very wrapped up and very frightened. And I met with someone who I would consider a bodhisattva, you know, someone who could have, you know, died and moved on and instead has stayed here to help the rest of us, who said, "You're doing this." And I said, don't be stupid. It's there and it's scary. He said, nothing's happened. Right. You're doing this. And if you keep doing this, you're going to make this happen. And I thought, what if that's true? What if he just happens to be right? I'm going to hedge my bets and not think about that anymore. I'm going to hedge my bets and move my thoughts elsewhere. I'm going to hedge my bets and I'm going to redo a new tape in my head. And you know what? The bad thing didn't happen, and new things started to happen, and my brain automatically started to move. You know, the things that we say to ourselves, we would never say such mean things to our friends, ever.
Never.
You would never say to your best friend the things that you say to yourself. So that unicorn tries very hard to be his or her own best friend. If you wouldn't say that to your friend, please don't say it to yourself. And if you need someone else to sort of rewrite the tape for you, do that with a friend. That's a great activity. All the things that other people say to you, all those wonderful, kind, supportive, you got this things, make that your tape. You don't have to even buy my book. Just look at the excerpts you can find online. Use those as your tape. You are strong enough. You're smart enough. You're good enough. What was his name? Smalley on Saturday Night Live, you're good enough.
I remember that.
People like you.
Yes.
I mean, it was silly, but it was true.
True.
So,
the question
is, who do you want to be? The question is, what do you want? How do you want to feel at the end of the day? I always say I want to have the best stories in the nursing home. You know, I want to be the crazy old lady in 12B. You know,
right?
There's a guy
everybody wants to listen to. Yes.
Exactly. There's a guy in our neighborhood who got nominated for a committee, and a bunch of other people were really mad about it. And they wrote a bunch of notes and all this stuff he had done. And I thought, I feel bad for the guy. Like, what was it that, like, led him to either do the things that people are saying or for people to say those things?
Right.
Like, what do they say? The lowest form of communication is talking about others, and the highest is talking about ideas. So,
I never heard that, but I like that. I do like that.
And I can get to the exact quote at some point.
Yeah.
It's definitely not mine, but there's something to be said about talking about what can be, as opposed to whether or not, you know, that girl's sweater looks good with those shoes. You know, like, that is a waste. Now, I love seeing everyone at the Met Gala. I'd like to go to the Met Gala. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things like fashion or whatever. The problem is when it becomes your whole, if it's hurting you, then it's not serving you. If it's hurting you, it's not serving you. So,
and that's true what you say about the talking to yourself. And I always use my niece. I have a, she's 11 now. And I always think of, would I ever say this to her?
Yep.
And when I, and I, no, I would never break her little heart like that. I would never break her self-esteem. So that's it. That's my, what I use. So you're right. Your friend, your child, or whoever. I love
whoever.
That.
Whoever. Right.
Whoever. Yeah. And I wanted to, I don't want to forget, because you and I, it sounds like we could talk for forever. But I want to talk about, and maybe you can incorporate this in what you were going to say, about your year of yes. That changed things for you, because that's important in how you said you were before you made that shift and then after. So I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to let you go with that.
So when I was a kid, and I'm not placing blame, I'm stating truth. My mother grew up very frightened. And so the world was very scary to her. And it was ironic in some ways, because she used to ride her bike from Jersey to Harlem to tutor kids. And she went off to Israel with my dad to live on a kibbutz. And she protested and, you know, dated someone who, you know, became a Black Panther because he wanted to forward the movement. Like, she had an interesting, and yet in some ways she just, her own mother really sort of, anyway, everything was scary. So whenever I wanted to do something, she would always creatively say no. Like, my mother said maybe next time every ski trip all through high school. And eventually, like, I took that on. Like, things just are scary.
Yes.
So I became the coat holder. And people love the coat holder because you need someone to hold the coat. So wherever we went, oh, don't worry, Jenny, you'll do that, right, Jenny? Oh, yeah, no problem. So that just became my, it's a very comfortable role. It's a very comfortable role to take care of people's belongings or save the place in line or sit in the car while everyone else runs in. It's super safe. So I go on this trip with my then girlfriend and my daughter, and at Disney World, they allow you to wait in line with your family till something they call the point of no return.
Yeah.
Because the lines can be, you know, hours long.
Oh, I know.
So, so you want to be able to wait together. So we're in this line for Splash Mountain, not even a big, you know, Splash Mountain of all things.
Yeah.
Although I do think, I think it's one of their biggest drops, but it's not, you know, it's not
Space
Mountain.
It's so fun. I love Splash. I love Splash Mountain. Much better than Space Mountain, actually. Yeah. I like it better.
So we're in line and we're getting close, and the two of them are just starting to drive me crazy. Come on, come on, it's fine, it's fine. And I was saying no, while at the same time I was looking to my right, and there were all the moms on the mom bench, and they were covered in snot and soda and the crying baby and all the crap they just spent $300 on that the kids are already over. And I looked to my left, and there's the other parent, or another parent or whoever, all excited to get on the ride. And they're little kids. Little kids. You can be pretty small to get on Splash Mountain.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, who do you want to be?
Right.
Do you want to be snot lady, or do you want to be excited kid? Like, now, that poor mom, probably somebody does have to sit with the stroller. And I hope that on the next ride, she gets to go. But in that moment, I didn't have to hold the stroller. Like, so who did I want to be? And I said, Jenny, there are like 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds here. Like, here's the thing. Are you going to die on Splash Mountain? Probably not. Now, if we had a parking lot fair, that might not be your best gamble. And could you hurt yourself on Splash Mountain? I guess, but I could also... I trip on the stick in front of me walking to get the newspaper. So once I decided I wasn't going to die and I didn't want to be on the bench, I went on the ride. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That stomach drop is not my thing. It's just not my, it's not my gig. So was I dying to get back on? No. But did it feel amazing to get to spend the rest of the time with my daughter and my then girlfriend, to be with everyone who was so excited and screaming and laughing and getting soaking wet, and spent the rest of the day, I went on Space Mountain, I went on everything. Whatever they asked, I went. And so then I just decided to make that my life. And because I was working so much as a travel writer, and people do ask you to do all sorts of crazy things. I had lots of opportunities to say yes. And I have another rule, which is that nobody purposely kills a member of the media. So they're not going to send us on an adventure.
Right.
That is inherently, chances are,
likely
we're
to kill you. Right. Likely
right.
to kill
like,
you. Right. Anything
right.
can like, happen, but likely
totally.
To kill you. Right.
So, in fact, I'm sorry I never went on Fear Factor, because even though it's gross or icky or whatever, nobody
right.
dies. Like, it's just yucky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So every time I would ask myself, are you going to die? Now, when you feed the sharks, if you hold the fish the wrong way, yes, you could absolutely lose your fingers. Absolutely.
Right.
You have
right.
to follow the directions. And I much prefer to do things where I can trust the equipment and the trainer and not me, because I'm not particularly athletic. So, you know, if it's something that requires a great deal of endurance or skill, then
right.
but if you're telling me I can rappel down a building because you're going to tie me up and connect, oh, okay, it's you, it's
wow.
your insurance, let's do it.
And then how did that like change your, you know, who you are and how you want it to be? Because it's a big deal to go from being the person who always holds the coats at the parties to being the person who scales down a building. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big jump. You're not. So how did that like change everything for you?
I mean, it changed everything. Like,
yeah,
for one thing, I was me. Like that, for one thing, I realized that I really wasn't the coat holder. Someone told me I was the coat holder. So
right.
it was just a much more comfortable place to be. And you know what? I'm noticing now how not nice it feels to be the person always complaining or saying no or declining.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
don't eat that. I don't go to that place. I don't
yeah.
like that.
I know.
Like, I mean, I personally don't like cheese. So, you know, if you and I are at a restaurant, we order the charcuterie board, I will only eat the salami. But you won't hear me say anything unless you say to me, hey, I'm going to hog all the cheese. And I'll say, have at it. Cheese isn't my thing. Period.
Right.
Done. Moving forward.
Right. Right.
So I just found like being the yes girl is just, it's just nicer. It's a nicer,
yeah.
it felt better. It feels better to not be scared of everything. I do not like being scared of things. In fact, we had a snake in the house, and I to this day am super disappointed that I jumped on the couch and squealed. It was a perfectly harmless snake. My
yeah.
wife took care of it, but I was disappointed. Like, that's
yeah.
not. That's not who
that's
I
not
am.
Not who you want to be, and it's not who you want to
no,
be.
No, not
is,
who I want to be. Exactly.
And that's you're saying throughout the whole show in your book is being that unicorn is showing up about who you want to be. So, as the coat holder, symbolically, that you weren't showing up as who you really were inside.
No,
and really
it made me weird.
Be. Yeah.
It made
yeah.
me. It made me behave weird because I had to pretend to be someone
to
who
pretend.
Was happy to hold the
right.
coat. Now,
right.
if someone has to volunteer and we're all going to take turns, or if
yes,
we're somewhere where I've been on all those rides 14 times and
right.
my cousins haven't, absolutely. That's a totally different thing. I don't do things now because I've either already done them or it's, you know, I don't know,
yeah.
but not because I'm scared.
Right.
It's not, no. I don't avoid it because I'm scared.
So you know, you have, you know, you're living your life and doing these things and writing this book. You know, like, who you are now today. You could say that with confidence.
I mean, I'd like to think so. I definitely
yeah.
know I don't always fulfill
yeah.
it. I'm, you know,
sure.
I do my best. But yeah, I think I have a pretty decent idea. And every once in a while, I have these funny moments. My ex-husband used to call me a chameleon. Because I would like, I could go to the, I've been to the Formula One races in Milan. I've been to I've jumped off of everything, dove under everything, worn the fanciest clothes. I've done every variety and I'm equally happy, truly, equally happy at them. Because
what's
I think
your sign?
That is, no, you have to guess.
Are you a Gemini?
No, I'm a Cancer.
No, that's interesting, because Cancers, you have to have Gemini somewhere in your chart. Because Geminis are like that. Yeah, because Cancers are very home. They're home bodies. Home. So you're like, you have this very adventurous spirit. So there's an adventurer somewhere, but that could be anything. Your rising, your moon, your midhaven. There's like so many factors. I was just curious.
Well, and it's funny, because in some ways I am super, like, I have my little study with all my little stuffed animals and knickknacks, and like, I'm an extrovert and introvert. Like, when I go and do a big speech on the cruise ship and everyone's excited and we sign all the books and people are like, you want to go to the club? And I was like, no, thank you. I want to go night-night, please. Like, I need to be done. Thank you. And people just assume I'm like, go. But I need to I get my, what do they say? You get your energy from being by yourself, but I also get my energy from people, but then I need to
It sounds like it.
And some days I don't need an adventure, and I don't always have to. But if there is an adventure to be had, then let's go. I'm not going to say no. Would I seek it out? I just cruised the Amazon and caught piranha and ate them.
Oh, my God. You know,
I don't know that I woke up one day and was like, I have to do that. But someone said, do you want to do that? And I thought, yeah, why wouldn't I do that?
Why not?
Right.
Well, Jenny, we're like at the end, and I mean, there's so much more. I have to have you come back so we can talk more, because you have a lot. But you can get a lot of what Jenny is sharing in her book, Be That Unicorn. So, Jenny, thank you so much for being here with me today. And please check her out. Go to bethatunicorn.com, and you can read more about it and get her book. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Jenny. It was a pleasure.
I really
enjoyed it. Thanks. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave, and wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.